Go ahead and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, if you would, please. We'll finish chapter 5 today of Ephesians. We have been in a series on Ephesians. This is our 16th in that lesson, of those lessons. And this is called His Will, Your Worship. His Will, Your Worship. Turn to each other and say, His will, your worship. Again, say it again. His will, your worship. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll be reading from the New King James this morning. I urge you to see these scriptures out of your own Bible. If you don't have one with you, there'll be others happy to get one for you. There are several in the back of the room. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to begin in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 17. Now, we used this verse last week as well, but we'll pick up on this theme. We're just going to do a few more verses this morning. His will, your worship. We're in a series called Making His Provision Our Practice. We know that we are in Christ and that we are rich in Christ. And the first three chapters of Ephesians are absolutely some of the most dynamic and powerful theological understanding that you can receive from the Scriptures in terms of this new walk with Jesus that He's put within us and what He's done for us. The last three chapters are the practical outworking of what He's done. So we make His provision, which is wonderfully expressed to us in the first three, our practice, which is how we take a look at the practical verses in the last three chapters of the book of Ephesians. First point this morning, experience the Spirit where? Say it with me. Experience the Spirit in you. In you. Ephesians 5, 17 through 20 is our text. Verse 17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, in the Greek, the word unwise, we'll jump right into the Greek this morning, is the word aphron. Can you say it with me? Aphron. And it means, don't be mindless. Paul is saying, don't be stupid. Anybody ever felt like you're stupid at times? Don't be stupid. Don't be ignorant. Don't be egotistic. Rash. Don't be unbelieving. Paul is saying, that's unwise. That's stupidity. And he is a spiritual dad writing from a jail cell, a Roman jail cell, and he's writing back to his sons and daughters in the faith. He loves these people. Now, we're just a short time away as we come to the end of Paul's life from his being killed and martyred for the walk and his ministry before the Lord. And so you think that in the last moments that you have, in the last days that you have, the things that you express, what comes out of your spirit, what burns and yearns in your heart to express to those who are close to you is the most important material. Those things, those teachings, those thoughts that are the most important things come out when you have a short time left. And don't you think that's the spirit in which Paul is writing? He's saying, you're my sons, you're my daughters in the faith. First of all, I've got to help you see how rich you are in Christ. The book of Ephesians, 37 times the phrase in Christ is found, more here than almost any other book. And in Christ, and Christ in you. And I want you to understand that. And now that you know that, we've turned to the last three chapters where he says, okay, now that you know Christ is in you, now that you know that you're in Christ, there's a certain way you are to walk. How many know that we're not to walk just like the rest of the world walks? We're strangers and pilgrims in this place. You go to the grocery store, you go to work, you live with your neighbors, and people think you're different. And that's a good thing if they think that. Unless you're pushing them away and you're offensive and you're awful to them, that's not the point. But there's a difference. Marking you as different from the world because Jesus is where? Inside. So we want to make His provision our practice, and the apostle's heart is being expressed with very crucial things. And this verse, don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. How many want to know what God's will is for your life? Feel like when you grow up someday, maybe you'll get there? But understand what God's will is. Okay, spiritual dad. My kids, I don't want you to be rash, stupid, ignorant. I don't want you to be egotistical. Egotistical, walking on your own, turning your back on the Lord. I don't want you to be stupid. Don't turn to each other saying, now don't be stupid. And he says, if you won't be stupid, if you'll not be rash and ignorant, the Greek meaning there, I will show you what the will of God is for your life. Stick with me. Let's put this together, and I'll teach you what God's will is. Now, we've already spoken some earlier about His will for us is to make sure that we have edifying mouths, not coarse jesting, and building up one another, and not tearing down, not gossip, and not backbiting, not filthy talk, not joining in with the world's ways, not stealing, but working so you can give, and all of those kinds of things. But let's learn some more this morning. The word understand, really literally in the Greek, means let's put this together. Let's put this together, and so it make it so you can comprehend. Comprehend what? The will of the Lord. And the will, what's that word? It's thelema. Thelema. And it means His determination. God's choice. His purpose. His decree. His inclination. Raise your hand with me. Raise your right hand. Say, God has a purpose for me. Now turn to each other and say, yes, you. So we see that He's got a determined purpose and a plan for us. And He's got a choice and decree, a direction. Paul is saying, let's get it together here and see what that plan and purpose is. He's got a destiny for you to live. That's burning stuff inside your soul. Oh, God, I still want to accomplish Your will. What is it You want me to do? And Paul's saying, okay, pay attention, and I'm going to show you what God's will is for your life. There's a difference between you and everybody else when you've given your life to Jesus. When you're redeemed and you've fallen in love with the Lord, how many know you shine? At least you're supposed to, right? There's a shine that comes through your life. Your countenance is different. Your direction, your destiny is different, and your life is different. So how, again, can we determine and discover what's the will of the Lord? Don't be mindless. Let's discover it. Verse 18, he goes on to begin to show us then. How can we determine what the will of the Lord is? Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but please boom it out with me. But be filled with the Spirit. Experience the Holy Spirit in you. His will. What's His will? Don't be stupid. Don't turn to the world. Don't imbibe on the escapes of the world. Don't drink from the spirit of the world. But I want to show you what's the will of God for your life? To be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit of God. You want to know God's will? Get filled with His Spirit. And say, I did that, Pastor Kevin. Okay, do it again. I did that yesterday. Do it again today. Filled with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit moving in you. Now, many people, at the time of this writing, in the ancient world, believed that drunkenness could produce an inspiration, as they were possessed by the god of wine, Diesenus. Diesenus was one of there was an active worship of, it's actually Dionysus, and they yielded control of themselves to this god, and they would perform, as they got drunk, sexual acts or full of sexual symbolism. It was often to the distaste of the conservative Romans, who were still relatively conservative compared to some of these secret society or SECTS sects who would worship in these ways. And Paul is contrasting the spirit of the world with the Holy Spirit. It was standard practice at late night for the poor or for the rich, at banquets and taverns to imbibe on the ale of the world. And Paul's saying, I don't want you to live that way. I don't want you to be that way. I don't want you to be deceived that that's going to actually satisfy you. How many know people are empty and looking for something to satisfy them? I had a father who was a raging alcoholic, raging. I remember as a kid waking up as he would come home at 1 or 2 in the morning. He'd be out all night long. And then when he'd come home, he'd tear the house apart, including my mother, and declare that she'd been out all night. And he was full of demons of alcohol and a raging drunk. And then he got delivered, became one of the leading alcoholics in AA. Alcoholic counselors for AA. That didn't sound right. Then he got delivered and he was still an alcoholic. No, he got delivered. Became a leading alcoholic for others. But boy, he was a terrorist in our home. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know what it's like. And so there's a longing. There was something raging for neediness in this man's life. And he didn't want anything to do with Jesus. My mother was a preacher's kid. He respected my mom's father, who loved the Lord, but he never surrendered to the God of my grandfather until the very end of his life. I think I told you that story. But there's something that people are driven by, longing to fill, and once you go to the world enough, it completely ensnares you. Come on, somebody say amen. You know, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's pornography or drunkenness or drugs or whatever it is. Whatever, you know, we think of those things mostly, but it can be manipulative behavior. It can be addictive behavior. Whatever it might be, people fill themselves with something other than Jesus. And so Paul's saying, I want you to be different. I want you instead to be filled with the Spirit. Spend time with Jesus. Be with Him and let His Word live in you and come to His altar and hang out with His buddies. Look at each other and say, are you a buddy of the Lord? What does it mean to be filled? The Greek word is pleroeo. And it means literally, be filled with the Spirit means to make replete, to cram in. To level up, to furnish, to satisfy, to finish, to verify. Absolutely cram jam full of the Spirit of God. That's what he's saying. Be absolutely cram jammed full. So full that you don't have time for the devil and the world and his snares. Because you understand the devil has nothing good in mind for you. Once you've been satisfied temporarily by sin, there's a season that feels good. But once you've been used by sin or used sin, sin ends up using you. You know what I mean? Come on, church. It's true. You get beat up by it and it leaves you empty. How many know you can imbibe from the Spirit of God and you don't wake up sick the next morning?
That's right.
Thank God. Thank God. He's never done with you. Jesus is never done with you. But when sin is done with you, it leaves you wasted and destroyed. All right. So experience the Spirit in you. Number two, experience the Spirit through you. Say it with me. Express the Spirit through you. Number one, experience the Spirit in you. Number two, express the Spirit through you. All right, let's see what he's going on to say is the will of God. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. One of the reasons I encourage you to clap your hands and sing out and be loud and all of those things, because the Scripture is full of be expressive in your worship to God. You'll notice this verse doesn't say sit around and mentally assent any hymn and to God. You go to the book of Revelation, it talks about the multitude standing with a loud voice declaring their praise to God. And it says there is the sound of many waters. You ever been by a roaring waterfall and by the huge waves of an ocean? There is a thunderous cacophony of sound, a roar that takes place. And he says, I want you to let your praise ascend with vocal volumes of praise. You know why that's important? It's important because guess whose eyes go off themselves when you turn your voice and your heart to Him in praise? Huh? When you start to worship, it gets your eyes off your problems, and your problems become about as small as they should be, and He becomes larger in your eyes. He doesn't grow. He just grows in your eyes. Understand? So he says, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speak your praise. Sing your praise. Your tongue, your lips, your voice, your vocal cords. When you're down, lift up your voice. Singing will change your outlook. It will. It'll change your perspective. Hey, I heard the other day, I heard a great one. I love this. People said about us that they have some wild times down there. I like that. Sing heartily to the Lord. People interpret that as being wild. That's okay. But if we're wild, let's be wild unto God, right? Amen. Speaking. The word speaking in the Greek is laleo. And it means to talk, to utter. Again, it's not just mental assent. It's not just, well, I'm quiet, Pastor Kev. Okay. But guess what? God calls even the quiet ones to be vocal in their praise. It's not enough to mentally assent. Psalms. The psalmos. And it's referring basically to the David Psalms, the Davidic worship. They were written for our edification. How many know maybe you cut your teeth in the charismatic days when the first realm of songs that ever came out were all Bible choruses? And don't you thank God those Bible choruses were there because it tucked the Word of God in our heart. We memorized the Word. Man, it's easier to memorize the Word of God with a song you're singing than to just try to sit and memorize it on your own. It's just, and so the choruses and Bible choruses were the Psalms set to music. And how many times do you think those songs have been sung throughout the years with a different sound to them or a different melody to them throughout the generations? But they're still the heartbeat of God being expressed. So the Psalms, what are hymns? Written odes. They are written odes. And in Paul's day, there were other compositions of praise that they used. Remember when Jesus held communion for the last time in the final supper, the Lord's Supper, what did they do? They sang a hymn. And they go out to the Mount of Olives and they sang a hymn. And so there were other songs that they sing. And then the Bible says spiritual songs. So singing to Him with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And those are supernaturally driven, spontaneous, Spirit-given songs. Songs birthed by the Spirit of God at in a moment. And we've had that happen in our setting where there's been visions or there's been tongues and interpretation, prophecy. There have been songs of the Lord. And we want to give room for the Spirit of God. Not everybody's comfortable with that, but I'd rather have God be comfortable in our midst than everybody else. We can call fall into line, right? Amen. Now, again, it doesn't mean we try to be make people uncomfortable, but we let the Spirit do His ministry in people's lives. I learned a long time ago. Let me just give you a quick thought. I learned a long time ago because, you know, just as sure as shoot, you bring guests to church, and that's the morning every kind of prophecy in the book takes place, and you got 1,400 gifts of the Spirit, and you go, oh, boy. You know what I'm saying? They're going to embarrass me. Oh, look at what they did. Thank God there's no chandeliers in the room. They'd be swinging from the... No. All right. You know what I discovered? I discovered that if you just take your friends to a church where the gifts of the Spirit aren't moving, how different is that than the vast majority of churches they can see every day? How will they know that God is alive if you don't allow your friends and family to see that God is on the move still today? Amen. Without apology. So you sit down and you say, hey, let's talk about that. And you explain it. And you look in the Scripture. But people have to be able to see something different to know that there's something more. And guess what? That's not just your friends and family. How many know every now and then God will probably let you feel uncomfortable too? And that usually means growing time, right? Come on. Nudge each other and say, time to keep growing. Yeah. All right, so singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, vocal, verbal, out loud, making praise and worship and songs that come out. And when you cough, excuse me, when you spend your time giving vocal praise, there'll be less time for the negatives to come out of your mouth. Amen. Matthew 12, verse 34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. What is the conclusion, Paul says? I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit. I'll sing with the understanding. But we're going to give room for both. Listen, the world sings songs all the time. The world sings songs and they don't bring them life. The world dances on an airplane, gets in trouble with the FAA. Yeah. Have you ever been to a basketball arena? Or how about a football stand? Or and the wave starts and the people stand and they wave and they cheer and they sing and they shout and they're not afraid. But at the end of the time, all they are is hoarse and empty, especially if their team lost. But guess what? Our Jesus always wins. So when we lift our voice in praise, when we enter in, we go away built up. Our mind is squared away. We're thinking right. We have the mind of Christ. We're built up in the Spirit of God. Our relationships are healed and we're strengthened to go out into the mission field again. Aren't you glad there's a time to come and praise and worship Jesus? Built up in the presence of God, where we don't give just another hour and a half to TV. You know what I'm saying? Watch. How many know there's something that goes on in our lives all the time called self-talk? You ever hear that voice? You know, you have a voice inside you talking all the time. Right? Your voice right now may be saying, gee, I wish he'd move along. That might be your voice right now. Or your voice might be saying, but how many know most of the time, or a lot of the time, wrongly so, that voice inside of you sounds like the voice inside of me. Goes, you doofus. You shouldn't have said that. You should have done this. Oh, you're behind schedule. Oh. And our self-talk is full of negative, deteriorating, lack of faith, unbelief. That's not always self-talk. A lot of times the devil likes to throw thoughts like that in there too. But guess what? If you will instead get up in the morning, hit your knees, and then begin to praise and worship Jesus, and begin to let a song come out of your mouth, look into the Scripture. Even if you just pick up your Bible and start to sing a Bible verse, make it up. Doesn't matter if your voice is perfect. The Bible just says, aren't you glad? Make a joyful noise. Anybody can make a joyful noise. My dogs can make a joyful noise. So, if we will, guess what? It changes that voice on the inside as that voice begins to submit. And maybe you catch that negative voice next time it comes through. You stop, you go, wait a minute, that's not the word of the Lord. So, how do you defeat the negative talks and doubts and self-talk? Verse 20 says, well, we'll do this verse first. Luke 21, verse 28. When you look up, it says, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is near. Sorry, Dean, didn't mean to throw you a curve there. So you make a purposeful choice to lift up your voice. And then how do you defeat the negative talk? And we'll go on to Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks how often? Come on, church, say it with me. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. How do we do this? Watch out of Luke 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. So, praise, worship. So we let the Spirit of God move in us. And we express the Spirit of God through us as we worship. The third point is, change the spirit and you change the nation. Change the spirit and you change the nation. Watch this, Psalm 144, 9 through 15. Psalm 144, I'm going to read it from the New King James. And then I'll read a couple of verses out of the King James. New King James, verse 9. I will sing a new song to you, O God. Isn't that what we're saying this morning? Praise, worship. I'll sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I'll sing praises to you. The one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. Verse 12. That our sons may be as plants grown up in the youth. Remember, he started this section by saying, I'm going to give you praise and watch these results come because of praise and worship in the atmosphere of the presence of God. That our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style, verse 13. That our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands because we're singing the songs of praise and we're changing the spirit. We're changing the atmosphere. And God is able to move on behalf of those people. And watch that our oxen may be well laden, verse 4, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets, verse 15, say it with me please, happy are the people who are in such a state, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Watch this out of the King James, that our oxen may be strong to labor, there be no breaking in or going out, say it with me, that there be no complaining in our streets. Welcome to America. Wouldn't you like that to be our testimony? How does it become our testimony? Starts right here. Change the spirit, change the nation. Change the spirit, change the nation. Oh God, I give you praise. I worship you. And I want to release you and your spirit to move through my home, my city, my block, my community. What would it take to help America have streets that sing? It'll take a Jesus-loving, singing people who thank God and worship, who are joyful expressors of God. You talk to Pastor Carl and you prick him and he bleeds about being an expressor of God, an expressor of the Lord. You listen to his prophecies, and I want you to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is prophesying through him and through the other words. But as you listen to Pastor Carl, there's a heart that God has given him that he's expressing the heart of God and being an expressor of God. Lift your vision. It's not just living day by day. It's being what he's called us to be and letting God move in us and through us. Church, how many want God to move in and through you? Oh, God. Then we need to let our voice cooperate. How many things can you give thanks for today as we come to a close? That, how about that you woke up today? Yes. That you're breathing, that you could get up today, that you could hear or see, you could take nourishment, that you have a breath, that you gather here with people who love you, and mostly that Jesus loves you, that you're forgiven and washed clean by his blood, and the Holy Spirit fills you, leads you, guides you, speaks to you, moves in you, expresses himself through you. Watch these verses out of the New Living now. Don't act thoughtlessly, Paul says, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns, that spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch 19 and 20 out of the message. I love it. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Amen? Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. You're going to see him standing there, and he's just getting ready to burst out in song. Sing praises over everything. Look at this. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master Jesus Christ. Let there be any excuse to give a song. God's good. Oh, let's sing about God is good. Hallelujah. I got healed. Oh, thank God for healing. Praise the Lord. My aunt got saved. Oh, thank God for salvation. Hallelujah. My cousin needs to get saved. Oh, Lord, we pray for salvation for your cousin. Walk around singing. Blow him away. That's all right, brother. They'll lock you up for loving Jesus anyway. But see, that's what he said. Any old excuse. What would our nation be like if there were a people who really believed this and did this? Ever wonder what blesses God? Now, go ahead and close your Bibles. I'm not going to ask you to turn to this. I'm going to read some scriptures to you. I have them up on the screen. Dean's got them. But I want you to really listen to this as we come to a close. What blesses God? What do you think God listens for? In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, there's a section of scripture, 5 verses, 13 through 18. And the heart of God is broken as he is speaking to the prophet Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And here's what he says. Your words have been harsh against me, meaning God, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You've said it's useless to serve God. Ouch. Anybody ever think a thought like that? It's useless to serve God. What profit is it if we've kept His ordinance? We've walked as mourners before the Lord God of hosts. Now we call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. How do the wicked prosper? Sounds like one of the Psalms, doesn't it? So what good is it for me to go to church on Sunday and walk with the Lord? Verse 16 comes a change. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Watch. And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him. For those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name, listen to what God says. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. Isn't that gorgeous? I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Why? Because he heard him say that God was worth walking with. He heard them encouraging each other. Hey, keep going with God. And it's not worthless. And keep praising Him. And keep loving Him. And keep enjoying the Word. And keep going to church. And keep encouraging each other. And God's sitting in heaven. He says, there. I was waiting for it. I hear it. And He's so impressed by it. He says, I'm writing it down. On March 3rd, 2013 at Grace Christian Center, there they are. They're talking to each other about me and they want to walk with me. I'm going to write this down. And there's coming a day and I'm going to make them my jewels. Because I just love it, God says, when somebody gives me praise and believes me. Verse 18, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God, one who does not serve Him. They speak different. They believe different. They act different. Let me give you a little context here. This is the last of the Old Testament prophets that we have in our Bible. And he ministered in Judah between 460 and 430 B.C. And his words paint a tragic picture of the little company that returned from Babylonian captivity by the hand and love and mercy of God. And they were graced by God to rebuild their temple and they were in the land. But now it's been 115 years since they'd come back. Temple had been completed and the worship was taking place and they were following the rituals and they were offering the sacrifices and Haggai and Zechariah, who encouraged them, you remember from the Bible at one of their times as they were returning from captivity, they're now gone. And the religious enthusiasm that the prophet stimulated in the people of God to obey him, it's now drained away. Nehemiah as governor, in which a time he served to help the Jews in Judah stick with the Old Testament law in Ezra. They were so prone to break. He helped keep their feet to the fire and their hearts on fire. His ministry was over. And the complaints that Malachi records 115 years after they lived and ministered heartbreakingly are the same complaints and sins that they wrestled with before. And Malachi gives a blunt report of God's words. And he exposes the attitudes of the hearts of those whose love for God has grown cold. Church, you know, I'm like you. Sometimes it gets a little discouraging and a little frustrating. And sometimes you wonder, oh God, isn't it time for you to do something? God, how can you let the wicked prosper? What's happened to this country that we love? And Lord, we live in a world, in a region that wants very little to do with you. You ever feel that way? And God says, keep going. Keep putting that one foot in front of the other. And keep praising me. And keep worshiping. And keep it up, because there's coming a time where I will clean it up. I will fix it up. I will do what I said I would do. But one of the marks that happens in the people sounds like this out of the message. God says, you've spoken hard, rude words to me. You ask, when did we ever do that? Verse 13 of Malachi 3. And when you said, it doesn't pay to serve God, what do we ever get out of it? When we did what he said and went around with long faces, serious about God of the angel armies, what difference did it make? Those who take life into their own hands, they're the lucky ones. They break all the rules. They get ahead anyway. They push God to the limit. They get by with it. But then, here are the verses we'll finish with. Then, those whose lives honored God got together and they talked it over. Did you love that? Those whose lives honored God, they got together and they talked it over. And God saw what they were doing and he listened in. And a book was opened in God's presence. And minutes were taken of the meeting with the names of the God-fearers written down. All the names of those who honored God's name. God of the angel army said, they're mine. They're all mine. They get special treatment when I go into action. I treat them with the same consideration and kindness that parents give the child who honors them. Once more, you'll see the difference it makes between being a person who does the right thing, one who doesn't, between serving God and not serving God. Today, let's make a covenant with our mouth, with our heart, with our mind. We give ourselves to believing you, Lord, and let's get our words and our thoughts right, and let's sing praise. Let's worship him. Let's keep worshiping him. Politics don't have the answer. Sports doesn't have the answer. Entertainment doesn't have the answer. Education doesn't have the answer. The world doesn't have the answer. Church, Jesus has the answer. He is the answer. What is his will? Your worship. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord, we bless your people as they go from this place. We go committed to praise, to worship our Lord. We love you, Jesus, because you first loved us. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Be released in the presence of the Lord.